This morning, God's word comes to us from Psalm 48. Psalm 48, and we will be reading all the verses of this psalm. Psalm 48, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this morning we look at what I think is one of the most beautiful psalms in the Psalter, Psalm 48. Psalm 48 in my title, in my Bible's title, is superscribed Zion, the City of Our God. I sometimes think when we look at the Psalms, we might think of them as somewhat random in their placement, as if they were 150 distinct units and you could kind of shuffle them up any way you wanted, like a deck of cards, and you have the same result. But the Psalms are not randomly put together. The Psalms have a purposeful placement. There are groups, there are collections of Psalms. Probably the biggest groups we notice in the Psalter are the five books in the Psalter. Book 1, Psalms 1 through 41, the Psalms of David. And predominantly, these Psalms are Psalms of lament. How do we cry out to God in times of trouble? Book 2 in the Psalter is Psalm 42 to 72. Many of them Psalms of Korah. That's where our psalm finds itself. Book 3, Psalm 73 to 89, Psalms of Asaph. And then two more books, 90 to 106 and 107 to 150, again, Psalms of David, but the character of these psalms is much more an attitude of praise to God, joy to God. These collections in the Psalter. Perhaps you're familiar with the collection of the Psalms of Ascents, the psalms that Israel would use while going up to Jerusalem, Psalms 122, 134. In the Psalter, Psalms 46, 47, and 48, our psalm, all belong together. This is a small little collection, a small little package of psalms. Because Psalms 46, 47, and 48 declare the glory of God. Psalm 46, the glory of who God is in himself. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble.
who God is in himself, a refuge and a strength, an ever-present help. What he does. God cares for his people. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved to the heart of the sea. God is the God who is glorious and who cares for his people. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God's glory in himself. Psalm 47, God's glory as the King of the nations. 47 verse 2. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. God's glory as king over the nations. And then our psalm, Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. God's glory in his dwelling place. God's glory in Zion. God's glory in Jerusalem, the place where God dwells. Now, children, this morning I'm going to talk about Jerusalem and I'm going to talk about Mount Zion. Those are the same thing. They are the same place. They are a place far away from us. A place far away in another country called Israel. But as we look at this psalm, we will see it doesn't just address a place far away from us, but this psalm speaks to us right here as the people of God. We look this morning at the glory of Mount Zion. The psalmist begins. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Zion, the city of God, Jerusalem, was founded on the mountains. We think of Psalm 87. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of our God. Zion founded on the mountains. Jerusalem, very near the center of Israel. You were never that far away from Zion. It was the capital city. It was where the king's palace was. It was the center. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation is the joy of all the earth. Beautiful in elevation, it sits exalted on the mountains. Being on the mountains was a place of security, a place of safety. There was a sense of secure care as you dwelt in the city of our God in Zion. The psalmist goes on, he says, Mount Zion, in the far north, the city of the great king. And that translation, in the far north, is not the most helpful translation for us. More literally, it says, Mount Zion, beyond Zaphon. Now, Zaphon is a reference to north, but here the reference is actually to beyond Zaphon. Zaphon was another mountain. A mountain where the pagan gods were said to dwell. The pagan gods dwelt on Mount Zaphon. We might think of it, kids, like Mount Olympus. Maybe some of you have studied something about Greek mythology. And where the Greek gods lived. The Greek gods lived on Mount Olympus. This was their dwelling place. That's like Mount Zaphon. And here we read Mount Zion beyond Zaphon. Beyond meaning not farther away, but beyond meaning greater than. God in his dwelling place is greater than all the pagan gods out there. That's what the psalmist is telling us. The dwelling place of God, Mount Zion, beyond Zaphon, the city of the great king, the powerful king, the eternal king, not just the human king of God's people, but the place where God, the king himself, dwells. And that's what verse 3 tells us. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. This city was great. It was the capital. It's where the temple was. But it was great because that's where God dwelt. That's where he revealed himself as the fortress for his people. God had said, my name will dwell here. God's name, his meaningful self-revelation of who he is. My name dwells here in Jerusalem, in Mount Zion. This is the place of God's dwelling, God's glory in the midst of his people. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion, beyond Zaphon, the city of the great king. That's the Zion that we are talking about. And this glorious city, this wonderful mountain was so incredible that even enemies, when they came to attack, could not stand against it. Verse 4. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. What's the picture the psalmist is giving us? The armies come to attack the city of God. And before they even get there, as they look and see what they are up against, they're terrified. Before the battle even begins, they saw it, they were astounded. They fled in panic, they took to flight. This is the glory of Mount Zion. Devastation over the enemies before they even come against it. They're amazed at the sight of the city, for God dwelt there. Even the pagans knew that. They knew this was the city of the God of Israel. Remember, they thought that gods dwelt in certain places, either the gods up in Zaphon, or there were the gods in the valley, or there were the gods on the plain. They knew that Israel's God dwelt on Mount Zion. And as they saw that mountain, they were afraid. They were devastated. They didn't even dare attack, for it was the dwelling place of God. Verse 6, trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind you shattered the ships of Tarshish. By the east wind you shattered the ships of Tarshish. The Psalms often use beautiful pictures to make their point. What's the point of the ships of Tarshish? Tarshish was known for its navy. They were known for their military prowess on the water. It would be sort of like when we go down to San Diego and we drive along the water and along the San Diego Naval Base and we see those huge ships out in the harbor. Ships so big, some you can land an airplane on. These huge battleships, these huge aircraft carriers. That was the picture of Tarshish. The power that they had. And we read, God simply sends the wind and shatters the ships of Tarshish. Devastation simply by the breath of God. God's power, God's protection. Those who dwelt in Zion were secure. They knew their God was more mighty, more powerful than any other force out there. This is the glory of Mount Zion, the place where God dwells, the place that would decimate the enemy simply by looking. and the place that was the blessing for the people of God. Verse 8. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. They had heard about the power of God. And now, as they themselves dwell in Zion, they can bear testimony, personal testimony. As we've heard the stories of the past, so we see now. God is still with his people. God is still protecting, securing them. They had heard the stories. God's powerful deliverance of his people out of Egypt, how he took them out. They'd heard the stories of the plagues and God's powerful provision through the wilderness, bringing them all the way to the promised land. As we've heard before, now we ourselves see. Because God is still the God of Zion. God is still dwelling in Jerusalem. We are blessed by knowing this God. The psalmist says, walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels. Look and see for yourself. Look and see for yourself the power of God, the protection of God, the security of God in his holy dwelling, Mount Zion, the city of our God. He says, Do this so that you may tell the next generation that this is God. Don't just know this security for yourself, but look around, look at the towers, look at the ramparts, that you may tell the children, that they might be instructed in the blessing of dwelling in Zion, of the security of knowing the God of Jerusalem. Tell the children the story, he says, that they, the next generation, might know as well. Verse 9, we have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. They would gather in Zion to bring praise to God. Praise which would resound to God's glory and the praise which would in ways reach the ends of the earth as they recognized that he was the God who dwelt in Zion, but the God who ruled over all. The great king above all gods. The gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. A personal desire to worship that God, to praise that God for who he is. Going on, your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. God's righteousness, God's perfection, God's holiness, all who he is. May we rejoice in that, your righteousness and your judgments. Your judgments on the nations. Your judgments on those who would not recognize the true God of Zion. God dwells there as both a blessing for his people, but a warning and a curse for those who would not recognize him. God's powerful, encompassing provision in all matters, in blessing and in curse. Verse 14. This is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. This was not a passing thing. This was God dwelling in Zion now and God dwelling in Zion forever. A sense of permanence of this city. A sense of permanence of this holy mountain. Our text again, he will guide us forever. Some of you have a footnote that says he will guide us through or beyond death. That's a better translation, I believe. He will guide us not only now, but also into the future, beyond the time that we're in this life. The blessing of being in Zion was not just for them was not just for then, it was a blessing that would continue even through death on forever. The glory of Mount Zion. Some of you, I know, have seen Mount Zion. Some of you have seen Jerusalem, God's holy mountain. Others, perhaps, have seen pictures of Zion, pictures of Jerusalem. And when you look at those pictures, it hardly matches up with the glory described here in Psalm 48. Mount Zion only has an elevation of about 2,500 feet. Mount Baldy is four times that. What is this glory of Zion? You see, the psalmist is not simply talking about a physical city in a country far away. The psalmist is painting a picture of God's presence with his people both then and now. What made Zion great, what made Zion glorious, is that God dwelt there. This is referenced in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author is making a comparison between two mountains again. Between Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and between Mount Zion. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read this. For you have not come to what may be touched. Remember, they were warned not to touch Sinai. A blazing fire, a darkness and gloom and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice whose words made the hearers beg for no further messages to be spoken. That's Sinai. You haven't come there. But, he says, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Earthly Zion was a pointer, a picture of the heavenly Zion, the place where God would dwell, the place where God is enthroned, the place where God's people would be taken to be with him forever. And that heavenly Zion, that heavenly Jerusalem, is reflected back down to earth again. Reflected in the church of the living God. Children, the words about Zion, Mount Zion, and Jerusalem don't just describe some city in a country far away. They describe us. They describe what's going on here and what's going on now. The heavenly Jerusalem reflected as that assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled by God, the assembly of his chosen ones, the glory of Zion, the church of the living God. God's church is grand, it is glorious, and in a particular way, God dwells in the midst of his people as they gather to worship him. Now we know God is everywhere present, he rules over all things, but in a particular way, when the church gathers for worship, they are in the presence of that God. The holy God, the God of Zion. He dwells there. He dwells there, and we know through him Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, the one who has brought us in, because Zion, Old Testament Zion, was for God's Old Testament people. The church, the New Testament Zion, is for all whom Christ brings in. for all who recognize him as the mediator of the new covenant, for those who recognize him as their Lord, as their Savior. That's the call this morning. It's not about something that happened in the Old Testament. It's about what God is doing right now. He calls you right now to put your faith and hope and trust in him, the King of Zion, Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, and be brought to Jerusalem, be brought to Zion, be brought to God's covenant people, a people preserved, a people that continue throughout time. Think of the various institutions that have come and gone over the centuries. Great and powerful institutions. Even now, the power of Washington, D.C., the wealth of Wall Street. All of these things may pass away, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ remains forever. This is Zion. This is where God dwells. And that church will never, never go away. God continues to dwell with his people. The security, the assurance of being in Zion. That truth that we also tell the next generation, that we tell our children. Why do we go to church every Sunday? Because this is where God dwells. Yes, he's with us throughout the week. We teach our children that. But in a special way, we come to church on the Lord's Day to praise and worship and magnify the living God, to praise King Jesus Christ, the one who has brought us in. That's the beauty of belonging to the church, belonging to the people of God. The church is great, it is glorious, not because of the building, although God has given us a beautiful building. The church is great and glorious, not because of the programs it offers, programs for youth, programs for adults, programs for men and women. The church is great and glorious, not even because of the people. But the church is glorious because here is the presence of God. Here is where God dwells. Here is where he calls us into his very presence. Oh, the joy of belonging to that church. This is God. Our God, forever and ever, he will guide us beyond death. We will know that God in this life and know that God in the life to come as we know him in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we say with the psalmist, the glory of Mount Zion, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city, here, children, in the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the beautiful pictures, the beautiful images you give us in the scriptures of your dwelling place, your church. We praise you, for you truly are the King over all creation. And yet in a special way, you dwell here with your people. Thank you, O God. Thank you for bringing us in. We do declare, great are you and greatly to be praised. We pray that on this Lord's Day, our worship may have been pleasing in your sight. You may have been blessed by our songs, by our gifts, by our prayers. But Lord God, we have been blessed because we have been brought into the presence of the King, the mediator of the new covenant, of you, our God. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.